is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Wednesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday night, Johnny Lupinacci. It's Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanne is on her way. She's going to be late. Yeah. You know, she's busy. But Johnny, man, I tell you, listen to last night back again. You were on fire, my friend.
I told you I was fuming. You sent me the article. And again, you know, like we all have our buttons, and when they get pushed, they get pushed. And I have a few, right? So, I mean, that article poked the bear. I'm not only just tired of attacking children of this generation, really children of every generation have had this, you know, this critique is they're just not learning enough. They're not doing enough in school, you know, and that's absolutely like couldn't be further from the truth. So I hate when we take NAEP scores. We talked about that yesterday on the show. We don't need to get back into it. You can go listen to the podcast and hear us both go really deep into, you know, the critique of an economist who's saying this generation is going to be, you know, missing out. They're just not going to be making enough money. In fact, they're going to be making less than previous generations. And then pointing the blame on students themselves for, you know, not having their faces back in the books, or the teachers for making, you know, they're not going to be able to just with how schools are, or even with changes, they're just not going to be able to make up this content. So basically saying this generation is lost, you know, in terms of these achievement scores, and it couldn't be further from the truth. So we debunked that myth. We tore into it. You know, I had steam coming out of my ears. You said it was on fire. But you know what? There couldn't be a better follow-up to it because, you know, we'll get into it tonight. But when Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna are here and Educators Amplified, and all they do to, one, remind us and connect us to on the ground what's happening in schools and classrooms and in lives of teachers, right? The other thing they do is they dare to dream, imagine, and take action on what ought to be or could be the focus of public education and what teachers dream about doing. They don't just dream about it. They don't just talk about it. They do it. So I'm excited because tonight we can ask Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna. So is this generation lost? Are we doomed because they're scoring a few points lower in math and in reading in fourth and eighth grade? Mind you, they're not scoring lower than all of us did. Like we scored lower than they did when we were in eighth grade. So they're still scoring higher than us. So if they're doomed, that means we're even worse off. So I mean, the whole argument is just gobbledygook. But, you know, I'm glad that we can refocus it because all that's a distraction from what could we be doing and what might kids need and what are those behaviors telling us right now as concerned educators, as adults in the community that care about children and one another. What is it that we might be paying more attention to? So I'm ready to put all that to the back burner, Tim, for another day. And just really get more immersed and in touch with what is happening and what could we be doing more of.
Well, I think that, you know, and so Teacher Hallie, just to let you know, we've been, you know, kind of putting this, what things should be, could be, ought to be, using a visioning thinking about this, right? And we know from you, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, you're always asking us to dream, to imagine. And so it's kind of really stuck as a theme that we keep throwing this out show after show after show, different guests going, you know, what ought to be? And the last time we had you and Joanna on, you know, one of the things, you know, we kind of got into three frames and different, you know, there's the status quo, there's the anti-status. Well, no, there's actually not the anti, there's the status quo. There's crazy, crazy, crazy. Like you will not do anything that would remind anybody that you might actually read bad books or any of that stuff. And then you guys, though, I love where you guys, but what about what should be? And then Johnny, you know, and so what, thinking about this, what should be Hallie, behaviors, all these things. I mean, help us out. Help Johnny put that smoke back in Johnny's ears.
I mean, we'll just ask Teacher Hallie, are these students who just scored a few points lower in eighth grade? I'll just pick on the eighth graders right now because, you know, I don't know. I'm just picking on them because everyone always picks on, what are they, almost 13? Middle so school. Let's pick on the teenagers. They're cool. They're middle schoolers. But these eighth graders scored, you know, a few points lower in reading and then a few more points than that, few points lower in math. Ooh. Are they doomed? Are we in big trouble because they didn't learn as much as the past recent years eighth graders did?
Absolutely not. I mean, we knew that was going to be my answer, but no. You know, it is funny how, you know, people will be like, kids these days. And I'm like, I feel like just generations, like, yes, things have evolved. Yes, they're exposed to different things than we were, but it doesn't mean they're less than. It doesn't mean they can't achieve as much. And I will say they're going to do more, you know, than we can even dream of. No. So no, absolutely not. I am not worried about the youth because of some proficiency scores on some wackadoodle test, you know,
I'll put you on the spot, Teacher Hallie, but I think you probably will feel less on the spot than I feel like I'm putting you up. But something happened. I mean, had COVID. I mean, there's some stuff going on in the lives of kids in schools and the conditions that they're experiencing in school. I mean, there was some stuff happening before that COVID hit. And so we talk about like the demoralization of teachers, the working conditions for teachers, and then the way students are often treated in ways and taught in ways that don't really help them be great learners. But that was already happening and then COVID happened. So some stuff has happened. So these scores going down, do you acknowledge that something happened recently that's putting them through something? But instead of focusing on scores, what might we pay more attention to?
You know, I'm smiling for those of you who are watching because I could go several angles. I'm like, what has happened that the children's scores have gone down? You know, like, you know, like, I think my biggest thing I'd say is, and unrelated to like I used to say for a long time, like COVID happened. We need to recognize that this is a universal trauma. Like globally, we all experienced it. And if we're supposed to be trauma-informed schools, then we've got to do more for our kids. You know, like I used to be on that train at the top of the mountain, you know, with the big flag being like, we've got to do something, you know. Now I've graduated to the point of what we really have an issue with is an archaic system that refuses to change, to actually meet the needs of children. Our system in education is totally built on like adult ideologies and what they think would be best for children who are compliant.
I was wondering, in other words, schools work, you know, and maybe they're not working or working. I'm trying to frame this, but you just said,
right.
If kids are out of compliance,
correct.
Teacher Hallie, it might not be because things are broken necessarily from the way that the behavior of non-compliance is something we should be listening to.
Oh, yes, 1,000%. But I would also say, I'm just going to, I mean, we've got the whole episode, you know, tonight to talk, but I'm just going to give a little caveats to the children who do comply and who are your quote unquote high achievers. Just want to shout them out to say, that's not good for them either. You know, like I really do sit in, I worry about that group of children who are quote unquote doing well in our schools, because to me, they're just holding it together. But like, we're not recognizing that they're kids. So of course, sometimes they're going to be sad. Of course, sometimes they'll be upset. Of course, sometimes they're not going to listen. Of course, sometimes, you know what I mean? But the only time that I think kids are rewarded in our schools are like, wow, you're the one I can always go to be sitting and listening. and your hands in your lap, you know, like, and is that really what we want from kids? So just a little shout out to them, but we can talk about behavior too. You know, I'm all about that. And regulation is what I call it.
Regulation. My yes. goodness. It's busted pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators
tonight.
She's full throttle, Teacher Hallie. It's Educators Amplified in the house, in case anybody's wondering. Yeah, the number is 855-752-4842. But yeah, the compliance behavior, Hallie, I mean, pointing that out though, too, that even the successful compliant kids, we might want to be concerned about, because what are they communicating also? Because I'm putting words for you, but if you're acting compliant in this setting, you really maybe shouldn't be, because this setting isn't really great for kids and development and the adults who are teaching them. The system, if it's working, that's not a good thing if you're one of the ones who are complying. Because you shouldn't be complying. Are you saying, so then the non-compliant behavior problems, that's who we should be focusing on and saying, we love you kids?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, it makes me think about from last week's episode how, and you guys mentioned, we had these three different kind of ways of looking at school. There's a whole nother way that we can be looking at quote unquote non-compliant behavior, whether that's disengagement, whether that's yelling and shouting, whether that's fighting and pushing, whether that's refusal. Like, we can look at these things in new ways and get different results, and not just results in like all of the proficiency scores skyrocket. Sure. I think that could be, you know, a sidebar that could help.
Wouldn't be a problem.
Right. But I'm more in tune with kids feeling really safe, connected, seen, and heard in our schools. Mm. And if we shifted how we look at behavior, we can do that. You know,
what do you think about it? Yeah, let frame that. In fact, you know, we're coming up on the first break here. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. The number 855-752-4842. It's Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna is on her way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we're setting this up, I think about this. I just want to point out, you know, the research, though, too. Let's put this for people to understand, you know, that for every year that a child spends in school, their engagement or their, in other words, the way they like school declines every year going through school. That's reality. That's the reality. So every time you spend and graduate to second grade, to third grade, to fourth grade, that graduation mark is actually showing a decline in your engagement. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded. Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified. We'll be right back.
Way UK and on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
UK and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for
We are playing.
Oh, yeah, there are players. Oh, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified night, Wednesday night. Teacher Hallie's in the house waiting for Teacher Joanna. She'll be here. The number is 855-752-4842. But, you know, the reality, though, I was pointing this out right before the break, is that, and the research is very clear on this. And this is, you know, talking with our guest this week, Kevin Kumashiro, guest last week, Julian Vasquez-Helig, pointing out, you know, the things that we know, right? And we know that for every year a child spends in school, their engagement declines. This isn't a dispute. This is a reality. And so we know that, and people go, well, I wonder why that is. No, we don't, the four of us, we know exactly why that is, because it's what you said, Teacher Hallie, that one view of what it means to have a successful classroom of kids sitting quietly, eyes up front, teacher in the front, directing everything. That actually, that model is disengaging. And every year a kid gets exposed to that, their engagement drops. And so guess what? By eighth grade, when their math scores drop, people are like, those kids are crazy in eighth grade. Maybe we are expecting them to be normal by putting them in a crazy situation.
Do you know what else, too, I think about when you say that is I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, in Wisconsin, it used to be like when back when I was in school, they would only test the 4th, 8th and 11th grade. Right. Mm-hmm. Now it is every year, multiple times a year. OK, oh, yeah. So if we continue to, quote unquote, pick on these little middle schoolers in 8th grade, I'm like, right. Wouldn't you think that by 8th grade, you've been taking these tests, you see zero value in them, you're absolutely fatigued, you have adults nagging on you to do the best that you can on these tests. Like, no duh, the scores are going down. Do you know what I mean? There's no motivation. You know what I mean?
No, like, exactly.
Why do we keep being like, these scores are going to tell us, you know, when I'm like, why don't we actually look at the experience of children in our schools? Mm-hmm. To act, you know, instead of inserting more literacy coaches or more, you know, sit and get, why don't we actually look at the child's experience to be able to see why these scores are going down?
Yeah. Well, you see, the scores are going down. You say the disengagement, the behavior, and you say, Teacher Hallie, the you know, negative behavior, bad behaving kids. The reality is bad behavior is induced because we've put them into a system that actually is not very conducive to who children are at that moment. And let's be honest, not very conducive to teachers either. Both of the parties in a classroom are not being given the conditions where they both thrive. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I'm saying too, you know, so to bring back our option one, option two, option three, you know, yes, to really understand like this option one that we're in right now, if we're going to continue to prioritize the test scores and these proficiency rates, right, the percentage of time that's spent on, you know, academia only increases. And so therefore, our ability as educators and experts to actually meet the needs of children, and then how we look at behavior becomes very short fused. So what I really see is people view a child have a behavior, you know, like I said before, it can be a litany of things. And like, it's viewed very isolated. It's viewed very like it's the fault of the child. It's viewed very much like, we'll make a plan for that child, but what's the priority? Your academics. You know, so it really just skirts off to the side what the child actually needs. Instead of thinking about like, why is this child exhibiting this behavior? It's like, nope, you're choosing to be this way.
You're making me think. And so we're behavior modifying. We're asking students, we're fixing their behavior, not to fix their behavior. We're fixing their behavior so that they can get back to the academic rigors that don't naturally fit what they're supposed to be doing. So behavior modification isn't to get them to behave how it would be best for them. It's to get them to behave so that they can get back to the academic rigors. And man, people are going, Tim, are you trying to say that school shouldn't be about academics? That's not really what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that if academics do matter, asking kids to behave unnaturally so that they perform academically, no wonder we have a problem right here. It's not natural.
And ultimately, you're having the experts run ragged around these school buildings, right? You know, like we're strapped for educators. So then you have in these other experts, whether it's special education, counselors, school psychologists, et cetera, and they're just setting out fires nonstop because of the way that we're viewing behavior or the lower percentage of putting time and value into it, if that makes sense. So I'm like, of course people are burnt out. Of course people are like, I can't accomplish anything because we're just running around trying to set out fires instead of, you know, really trying to get at the root.
Teacher Joanna's, look at that. Teacher Joanna's in the house. Welcome, Teacher Joanna. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been listening on my way.
Okay. And so where would you steer us back to?
Well, I have thoughts. Okay. My thoughts are about that, number one, you know, the way schools are designed right now are on this idea that behavior is a choice instead of the idea that stress drives behavior. And the second thing is that we continue to view them as separate. We're like, there's school that you should be doing, and then there's your behaviors. And we have a system right now, and even part of the way you guys are talking, like we're conditioned to talk about it as separate, but really the learning process, like the cognitive way we interpret and understand things, is they're connected. And so again, I don't even know, you know, like I feel so far away from looking at it separately, but the system that we operate and that everybody by and large is familiar with definitely looks at it as separate. And I think about it in many ways. You know, we've talked about the quadrants before in terms of four domains of learning, intellectual, physical, social, and emotional. And right now, our schools are designed to really focus around one quadrant, and that's the intellectual. And so even if you just, you know, picture the pie graph in your mind right now, that would be out of balance, right? And we need balance to be able to function. And so right now, our schools are out of balance with what they focus on. And we continue to look at it as separate when it's really whole.
There it is. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, they're back here talking about behavior. Yeah, people are like, what? Yeah, behavior. It's a real issue. You know, we're kind of talking about the reality of how test scores themselves. What do they tell us? What do behaviors tell us about what's happening in the schools? Well, that's what we're doing here. Busted Pencils, fully leaded.
Armed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You can't feel the heat until you hold your hand over the flame.
But when you put your hand over our flame, you can feel the heat. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, rocking it out. Behavior. It's, you know, it is. And we're talking about the reality of what behavior really tells us versus what we wish kids were doing with their behavior. I think maybe that's one of the ways to frame it is that if the expectation of behavior by those outside of the classroom and now even a lot of the people who create policy for the classroom, the expectation of behavior is way out of whack with the reality of how kids and faculty, teachers, everybody together, our expectations of behavior don't fit the realities that would be the most conducive to what Teacher Joanna said, not just intellectual, but those other quadrants. Teacher Joanna, am I getting a little bit better there?
You are. You know, I'm really just thinking about how what I was saying is that our vision is that all of the parts that make us whole should be addressed equally in school. And right now they're out of balance. There's really one major focus and it's intellectual, which is good. I'm not saying get rid of it, but those other pieces are things that are viewed as more as on the side or cute little add-ons instead of necessary and should be core and should be core. I always say that we treat it as on the side instead of core to all. And if we were to put those things into balance, regulation would come in, engagement would go up. And the bigger issue is I think that adults and the systems that we've created are actually not great at identifying, understanding, and responding to emotion. We mislabel emotion as behavior, right? Mm. We mislabel what students are communicating. And so and the good news is we've got great information now. Like, this stuff literally didn't exist when I learned how to teach. I started in, I think, 96 was my first year of teaching. And the information that we have now about neuroscience and cognition is, you know, it's here. Let's use it. But that will take unlearning and letting go, and maybe even giving ourselves the time to grieve what we have right now.
Grieve, learning, letting go, and grieving. It's the way I heard it. Teacher Hallie's got her eyes all lit up over there.
Well, I just liked Joanna highlighting that we mislabel emotions as behavior. You know, so I can think of lots of examples of working with students where, right, we just don't understand how our nervous systems work. And so that's what happens, you know. So off the top of my head, I think about when I did a shout out to my compliant babies, that, like, right, compliance can seem like a quote unquote good thing. But really, the behavior behind that is freeze, is being uncomfortable, is trying to avoid, is, you know, disengagement as well. But that's okay in our system, in a way. You know what I mean? And then on the flip side, viewing, you know, more aggressive behavior or maybe talking back to a teacher is just behavior, when really that's like a fight response, that something triggered them or they're irritated about something, and their way of trying to, you know, like have the emotion flow through them is through that external behavior, you know. And like, we just, now we have this, like Joanna said, this knowledge, but we haven't brought it into our school systems. And I just like that she highlighted that. And then my mind is just like, right, right. You know, like, there's fight, flight, freeze. And you don't hear about any of that in our schools.
Why aren't we bringing that information? This goes back to, we had Julian Vasquez Helig talking about, guess what? You want to make a difference? Lower class sizes. We had Kevin Kumashiro talking about diversity, equity. You want to do it? Well, then create more diversity, equity, inclusion that works. Now you guys are sitting there going, hey, wait a minute. You know what? You want to deal with this? There's a lot of stuff that we know, and we know how to do these. Why doesn't it get through? Why doesn't it break through? Is it because the status quo system is so darn powerful, even to the point, Teacher Joanna, that a lot of us might actually grieve if we see it disappearing, and even some of us might then naturally kick back against the system going away because it's the only system we really know in, and we don't want to see it go away. And so, you know, we're even part of the problem, the big, big we, is because we don't realize that we're potentially in a grieving process of watching a system go away that should go away.
I see this as super layered. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say either one of you jump in there.
Well, Hallie. I was just going to say, I see this as like super duper layered. Like, there are many, many reasons why we're in this like vortex of like, what are we going to do? I'll give one layer that I think is because we now have like this extreme agenda on our plates, you know, that we're countering and trying to like not have, of like the consequences and no SEL and there shall be no bad behaviors, that we resort back to all that we know, you know, because like that extremism solicits an emotion from adults or people who are answering the phone calls, and then we fall back on what we already know, you know. So it's like there's that angle of it, but there's more layers. What are you going to offer, Joanna?
Johnny,
I feel like Johnny was going to say something.
Well, I love what you just said, Teacher Hallie. I was going to say something very similar, and we were talking about students, and you brought up the fight, flight, freeze, and the kind of conditions that students are in. And teachers are in those conditions too. And you brought it up. I was going to, you know, you said we revert back to what we primarily experienced. So as much credit as I love to give the teacher educators out there, myself, one of them, you know, like we are just a little blip in interrupting and applying that knowledge of what we know about cognition and what we know about engagement and how we can name all the ways schools play a role. And when I say schools in general, the status quo of how schools work in our country is about enforcing compliance. Teacher Hallie, you laid that out really nice tonight. But you know, educators, all of us, I always talked about it as school seeps in, right? And so one of the thing that happens too is like we know when we're in those stress moments. And schools are highly stressful places, like not only for students, but for educators, the adults there too. Talk about regulation. I love what Educators Amplified does to illuminate how important it is for every child to have a regulated adult as an instructor, a teacher, a caretaker, an advocate. And when we're in those stressful moments, we know that as educators, even really great teachers battle with reverting to their primary socialization, how they experienced day in and day out, 20 some years of quote unquote normal schooling. Right. And so it's sort of we default, like we are constantly in this dysregulated state where we are enforcing compliance because that's what we experienced for 18, 20 years as successful. And even though we might have got a couple of years or we had a really great workshop or we're in an awesome teacher group that talks about things that can be different, it's really hard to do those things in a system that's not supportive of that change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, school seeps in. But I am just, my mind is blown tonight because I'm reminded of that information. And teacher Joanna gave us this really great breakdown. And so for listeners, and this is selfish because it's for me again, I want to ask, like, can you repeat those four areas? You talked about we're focused on the intellectual, but for our listeners and for us, that those four areas, my mind, listening to you explain that earlier in the show, my mom was like, this is exactly it, balancing the four. Can you review that for us here?
Absolutely. And this is the way that Hallie and I chose to look at it. There's a lot of things with quadrants rooted in indigenous wisdom, let's say, but ours that we look at, we call it the four domains of learning. And we say that they're intellectual, which is really about curiosity, not necessarily academics, but we have four domains of learning: our intellectual, our emotional, our social, and our physical. Wow. And right, Hallie makes beautiful graphics, by the way. And so we have one out there that just really shows, like, those are four just needs. Those are four domains that all of us as humans have. But our schools are largely designed around only intellectual. And, you know, that was just something her and I would rant and rave about, but not, or take action towards, where we were like, we require kids to be in school for 8 hours. We should be meeting more than one of their needs. Mm. Like we should. And then that was what we chose to do in our program, where we were like, we will equally prioritize and resource these four domains. And so we had more balanced students. Because those needs, and we didn't view it as extra, like, oh, we're going to go to the museum if you're good. We were like, no, that's part of our learning. Like, that's just what we do, because we can hit all four of those domains with one activity. And so the way school's designed right now is we look at those things as like add-ons, like I said, like, if we have time, we do extra recess instead of following the guidance of kids need at least 15 minutes of activity every hour. You know, we should be having lots of movement. And so, and that's just getting back to, again, the basics of our bodies and minds, right? Like, let's take care of our body and mind so that we can engage, you know, have great cognition and health.
I wonder here, I'm going to try to bring this together in a way too, to see if you guys go with this. So if I'm running for a school board, right, and I'm saying I want to get in, typically I will focus mostly on some of the only one quadrant, the intellectual, and we will typically see both sides of the fight in that intellectual. One saying we want kind of progressive intellectual, the other saying I want back to where I used to learn intellectual. Both of those arguments, though, never, when from a political standpoint, nobody talks about the other three. In fact, I wonder if that's part of the issue here is that have you heard anybody running for school board on the physical or the social or the emotional sides of the quadrant to say, I want to restore social learning? Because, boy, if you do, I can imagine that's not a real winner as a politician. Hallie's giving me a mean look.
I'm not trying to give you a mean look. I just feel like, well, when it comes to school board members, I do have a little bit of grace that I don't know how much they would know to think, you know, this would be an educational expert's perspective or someone on the front lines but who would have the
comprehension. I'm not saying they know this. I'm actually saying because it's so limited that we really sure. only have conversations within the intellectual realm ourselves, because that's what we imagine school is. And we're talking about good behavior, bad behavior. It's all because everything is focused around our one vision of how we used to remember school. And for some reason, Joanna.
Well, I was going to say, it's actually one of my fun frustrations at the moment. And what I'm trying to do my dissertation around is that even when we do want to focus on those other domains, mm-hmm. physical, social, and emotional, we'll still use the measure in education of those things as the intellectual. We'll be like, mm-hmm. we know kids are, their well-being is great if they have great grades and great attendance. Not and it's great. More complex than that. And so there's not, and what I'm finding is there's not that big of a body out there to even define what youth wellness really is. But we mm-hmm. do know that our kids overall are reporting that they're not that well. I think it's great that they can identify that, but we've got to examine this issue and come up with measures that align and just recognize that these are priorities that are totally worth it and will bring everything in to balance.
Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, Wednesday night, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Hey, still time if you want to get in here. 855-752-4842. Four domains. Teacher Joanna, intellectual. Yeah, we're going to come back. Social, emotional, physical. More when we get back.
Happy Eight Collectibles. We collect everything.
You're listening to the Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education, and on a Wednesday night, it's Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. Behavior quadrants, all these things, you know, and the reality is that, Joanna, I want to do this one though too, just because it was one of the places. So you put in the notes here that for the people who are watching, you know, we can actually see us talking to each other with the typewriter. You talk about well-regulated spaces. Just please, though, explain for a listener regulated spaces, because I got to imagine my neighbor, who was a lot like me, is going, oh, aren't schools regulated? I mean, they got lots of rules. Is that what Joanna's talking about? Is lots of, what do you mean regulated? Talk to us. Give us a little bit about regulation, though.
Oh.
We always need a refresher on regulation.
Yeah, you know, I love speaking about it. Well, when I talk about regulated spaces, I talk about nervous system regulation and spaces that are designed to assist with regulating us rather than dysregulating us. And so examples of things that might dysregulate students are like really loud hallways, chaos. I mean, think about how you feel when you're in like a massive crowd and you're not sure what's going on. Like that literally puts our nervous system more on alert, okay? Mm-hmm. And the more on alert that our nervous system is, the more we detach from rational and logical thinking. And so we want our nervous system to be regulated so that all systems, I always say, are like online and wired together so that logic and emotion can both operate. Because when they're disconnected, it's only emotion is operating. And so schools could become more regulated spaces. And we don't recognize that a lot of our current practices are actually things that increase dysregulation, like a really highly competitive culture and like comparing grades and posting things like that is, again, something that'll put you more into your dysregulated nervous system. So I think about, like I said, crowds, competition, whereas schools don't have to be such stressful spaces. We can, you know, something that I actually liked during COVID was we had the kids come in through different doors. And so it wasn't like 600 kids all through the same two doors. It was like dispersed and kids enjoyed that. You know, it was, and then we go from that to like, you were just in this massive crowd to like literally 3 minutes later, a bell rings and you're supposed to like sit and be still. And there's like no space. And there's not intention in most places, there's not intentional practice to acknowledge that and bring it down. Hallie, what did you want to add?
Well, I just always like to put things on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being regulated, 10 being dysregulated, and to kind of go full circle where, you know, we expect children to be around a 3-4 in our system right now, you know, so meaning that they're more regulated than dysregulated. You know, we might know like, oh, there might be a little bit of stress, or maybe little Billy didn't have breakfast this morning. Maybe we'll do a morning meeting, but then the rest of the day, you should be functioning around a 3-4. When in actuality, where 5 would be like 50-50 of regulated, dysregulated, I would say children are coming in at a solid 7, you know, and I mean, there's, you know, it fluctuates, but I would say children are coming in dysregulated and it looks different for every child. And then what Joanna was saying about how our environment can increase that. And so then I like to offer that if they're coming in at a 7 and then they're with 600 kids in the transition and they're getting all this, you know, like here's your grade or there's a test or whatever, you're jacking them up to 8, 9, 10.
Right.
As opposed to taking the time to bring them down. And then how do we keep them at the 3-4? You know, like none of that language is in our schools, but I think it's a good, you know, even for ourselves, it's a good litmus test for ourselves of where we're at, you know?
Boy, I'm thinking about Johnny. When you came into the show last night, man, you were already dysregulated at like an 8, man.
You know, well, we talked about it, Tim. This is a great example for listeners because I know, you know, if you listen to last night's show, I mean, Tim and I were running hot at like an 8 to 10. But I told you, Tim, I said, hey, it's Tuesday. And what happens on Tuesdays? I've been teaching all day, right? And so I'm running around, right, doing school, and school puts me the day-to-day rigmarole of school is dysregulating. And I can normalize it, but I can't do that physically and emotionally every day. And I talk about it with my students all the time because we have to learn how to regulate our nervous systems and how to be present as an educator for children. And that takes a lot. And that often is contradictory to the way that the systems are designed and structured. It also is in combat, like personally, I'll just share, is in combat with what I've normalized for myself as good teaching, right? So I can do it because, you know, I now teach 4 classes a week. Well, I used to teach 8 a day, right? And so the way I was teaching 8 a day, the way I teach 4 a week, I mean, I pull out all the stops, Tim. I mean, you know, like you catch me on a Tuesday, I'm fired up. I come into the show on an 8 to 10 dysregulation because all day I've been, you know, running the rock show of social studies party to become a teacher. And so, you know, that reminds me too that, hey, you couldn't do that as a teacher. Good teaching isn't always functioning at a dysregulation. We've come back to it in future shows because it reminds me a little bit of, you know, a whole detour I took for a while in education, working together with some people who do this type of philosophy of education called Soka studies and Aikida, And this is really fascinating stuff because they came and saw my Peace and Social Justice high school class. And they said, a little teaser, we'll get into it in another show. We'll have some of those folks on. But they said, Johnny, how could the peace class be so ramped up? They were like, this is the least peaceful place we've ever been. It's exciting and but it's off the charts. Like from everything to our breathing and heart rate was way up here. And we're supposed to be learning about peace. And so it was a big aha moment for me. I'm reminded of it again tonight. That's what Educators Amplifier does for me, right? That the teacher Hallie and teacher Joanna bring us back to remembering that balance and the importance of that balance. What a show tonight. And I'm just glad and excited to have you both here, but to be present in these big moments for myself as a learner and as educator, but for all our listeners, what a gift.
Absolutely. Teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, Busted Pencils. Man, we always feel like we just get started and it's time to move on. We will see you guys. We'll see teacher Joanna, teacher Hallie again next week. Tomorrow night, Nancy Flanagan, Core Democratic Values, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Man. Thanks for listening. See y'all tomorrow.
Say yes to MPS.